This is Dale Cantrell of the Meridional Wholeness Church. Thanks for joining us for this look into God's Word as we try to gain a better understanding of God's will for us. Today I'd like us to take a look at the very familiar scripture about the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, 9 through 15 in your King James Version of the Bible. It says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Matthew 6, 9 through 15 again, verse 9. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." What a lovely name is the name of God. There is no higher name in heaven or in earth. No one can reproach his high name. By his name, people have been healed. Blinded eyes have been opened. Verse 10, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Is that what we do when we pray? Do we ask for God's will to be done? We need to seek for God's will as Jesus did in the garden. I'm afraid many are just trying to change God when they should use it as an opportunity to change themselves. God is not your butler, and God is not your maid. Verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread." Our daily bread. We need God's bread, the Word, not the bread we eat at the table. Verse 12 says, "And forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors." Verse 13, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Verse 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Verse 15, "But if we forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." After the prayer, Jesus commented on one element of the prayer only, and that was forgiveness. He didn't comment on the daily bread, although that's very important. For the scripture is plain. John 6:49 says, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead." Jesus also didn't comment about temptation, although it is very important. It could be another sermon within itself. But he commented only on the forgiveness part. This tells me that forgiveness must be very important to God. Again, verse 12 says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Did you just really get through asking God to forgive like you do? You have to let go. Your hand has to be free to accept what someone wants to put in it, or even to shake someone's hand. Before this message is over, we may need to change something about ourselves. Are you open to that? Are you willing to clean out your closet, attic, trunk, or even your heart so that you can place better things there? You have got to get a position to receive what God's got in store for you. We need to let go of that we don't need so that we can reach out to receive what we do need. It reminds me of Colossians 3, where we're told of things to put off and things to put on. You have to put off some things before you can put on some other things. In order to put on a shirt, you have to take off the cloak you have on. It is amazing that we that have been forgiven often struggle with forgiving others. We even have a struggle forgiving ourselves. We are so stingy with what God is so generous to us with. Because if you don't give it well, you can't conceive it well or receive it well. When you do forgive, is it with the same speed that you want God to forgive you? Do you forgive with the same tempo that God does? Let the inner man of forgiveness within you step up and come forward. The Bible is very clear that offenses will come, no matter how good things seem to be going at the moment. Every person will encounter an opportunity for forgiveness at some point in their spiritual life. So it appears to me that most people make no real provision for such offenses. How can we have something that happens every day and that we have made no provision for? When we don't handle offense, that's when unforgiveness sets in. We get stuck when we just can't handle what has just happened to us. Let me ask you, who should we forgive? The people that didn't mean to hurt us? Most of us do very well with forgiving people that didn't mean to hurt us or didn't want to hurt us. But most of us have a real struggle forgiving the people who intentionally hurt us. But the prayer didn't distinguish between the two. It just said, forgive. Forgiveness has a rhythm or a flow of forgiving and receiving and receiving and forgiving. It's like a sink that you can pour water down the drain. As long as it's not stopped up, it will keep flowing. As long as you can pay the utility bill. But if there's an obstruction there, it will stop the flow and the sink will overflow and you'll have to quit pouring. When someone forgives, but the other person won't, then it is stopped up like the sink and the flow stops. A lot of people do real good with the forgiveness thing as long as you don't cross the line they have drawn. Unforgiveness is terrible and also very toxic. Why can't we be like children and be more forgiving? 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, "Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be ye men." Little children will get disappointed, but in a few minutes they'll get in a disagreement, but in a few minutes they'll be back playing like nothing had ever happened. There's a Spanish story of a father and son who had become estranged. The son ran away and the father set off to find him. He searched for months to no avail. Finally, in a last desperate effort to find him, the father put an ad in the Madrid newspaper. The ad read, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." On Saturday, 800 Pacos showed up, looking for forgiveness and love from their fathers. Forgiveness is the key that opens the door to the good things in your life. Let it go. It's like exhaling. You have to get it out of you. You have to let go of one breath before you can take another breath in. Forgiveness is a big deal. "I'm sorry" is not an eraser for everything. "I'm sorry" has to be real with some meaning behind it. It is hard for us to fully offer forgiveness. If we do forgive, it is often only until something else happens, and then we rescind that forgiveness. That is not so with God's forgiveness. Forgiveness is a gift that you give to yourself as well as others. Forgive is the greatest kind of give. But we are too busy filing grievances and lawsuits. When you refuse to forgive, you are like a time bomb ticking. Toxic when you were created to be kind. Unforgiveness is not natural and causes bitterness. What happened to us? We stopped learning, loving, forgiving. Unforgiving is a learned experience, and I will always believe that if we can learn it, we can unlearn it. Forgiveness, if you would turn your real love loose, it would amaze people. When you would do that, there was a little man on your shoulder saying, "You might get hurt." Unforgiveness doesn't attack the other person. It attacks you. It is weak. It is like you drinking poison and waiting on the enemy to die. Sometimes losing the battle is winning the war. Big people don't sink into unforgiveness. They have class. Now, I don't know the definition of class, but I know it every time I see it and come in contact with it. The higher you go, the more you see the bigger idea, the bigger picture of what we're trying to accomplish instead of the smaller idea of having a duel to see who's the strongest. Forgiveness is a big idea, and grudges is for petty small minds and small people. It dwarfs you and holds you back. Because you haven't let go of who you were, you can't be who you are or who you want to be. It might not be so bad to play this game if you weren't running out of time and it's stealing your life out of you. If you can't be what you were meant to be and as big as you could have been. And you can't be what you were meant to be and as big as you could have been. What's the point? You show how tough you are and that no one is going to run over you, but you wind up alone. The images you keep playing in your mind are the terrible things that happen. Keep holding you back. The energy it takes robs you of the energy it takes to reach your destiny You're losing energy from unforgiveness that you will need for your destiny. You have to choose. Are you going forwards or backwards? You build a shrine or a monument in your mind to remind you of the hurt and the offense, and you worship it and give place to it. Some lady wants another lady friend to go into a shoe store, but that sister says no, because they wouldn't take a pair of shoes back from me. For me, 20 years ago, goodness, they probably are dead or retired or by now. Go on back in. It's not happening in your life, not because you're not hearing it, but because you're not doing it. God will only release what he has for you when you let go of what's hindering you. This message digs deep into uncomfortable places. This is a message that requires honesty. I have been worried about this and been in bondage long enough. This sermon will require you to do something hard and uncomfortable. It's not about their reaction or them saying the right thing back. It has nothing to do with them and everything to do with you. Let it go. For where God wants to take you, let it go. You're not available for what God wants to send you when you're in an unforgiving shape. Don't build a hurt monument. Be determined to walk away from this broadcast different than when you did when it began. I hope after this sermon you are set free and you have to walk around the chains, ropes, locks, etc. that have just fallen off of you. When you forgive, you in no way change the past, but you sure do change the future. Forgiving is like ringing the bell. You might liken it to letting go of a bell rope. If you've ever seen an old schoolhouse with a bell on top, or an old church with a bell in the steeple, you will remember that to get the bell ringing, you have to tug a while and tug hard. But once it has begun to ring, you merely maintain the momentum. As long as you keep pulling, the bell keeps ringing. Forgiveness is letting go of the rope. It's just that simple. But when you do so, the bell keeps ringing. Momentum is still at work. However, if you keep your hands off the rope, the bell will begin to slow and eventually stop. The unforgiving spirit will begin to slow and will eventually be still. Forgiveness is not something you feel. It is something you do. It is letting go of the rope. I heard a story about a driver that placed a note on the windshield wiper of his illegally parked car, which read, "I've circled the block for 20 minutes. I'm late for an appointment, and if I don't park here, I'll lose my job. Forgive us our trespasses." When he came back, he found a parking ticket and a note from a policeman. "I've circled the block for 20 years, and if I don't give you a ticket, I'll lose my job. Lead us not into temptation." Anger can be lethal. Dr. Lewis told of writing a book on forgiveness. As a part of the book promotion campaign, he appeared on a talk show where people could call in and respond to what he had said. One lady called in and said her child had been killed by a drunk driver and there was no way she could forgive the driver of the automobile. Before Dr. Smidge could answer her, another lady called and said, "I had the same experience. 4 years ago, a drunk driver killed my son. For 2 years, I held on to my anger and hoped for revenge. Then one day, I realized that the man who killed my son was killing me." Let go of anger. It will destroy you. If you hold on to a lighted match long enough, you are the one who will be burned. Who have you not forgiven? The story is told that when the painter, Leonardo da Vinci, was painting The Last Supper, he had an intense and bitter argument with a fellow painter. Da Vinci was thinking of a way to get this guy back, and he came up with a devious plan. He decided to paint the face of his enemy onto the face of Judas Iscariot so it would be captured for time immemorial. And that is exactly what he did. When people came to look at his work in progress, they immediately knew who Judas was. Da Vinci thought, "This is pretty good. I showed him." As he continued his work on this great painting of Christ and his disciples, he finally came to the face he had saved for the very end, the face of Jesus. But he could not bring himself to paint it. He was greatly troubled knowing that he had painted the face of his enemy as the face of Judas Iscariot. He realized that his hatred and bitterness was keeping him from being able to face the face of Christ. So he went back to the image of Judas and painted some nebulous face instead. Then he was able to paint the face of Christ. Unforgiveness is the cancer of the soul. It's hard to be big when little's got a hold of you. People dying lost or giving up while church members are crossed up or jockeying for politics and position. There's nothing worse than a little man in a big position. They don't know how to handle it. They try to lord over it and misuse it and abuse it. They've got a complex. They're too little for the spot. There are some people that are little in height but have big thoughts. But there are also some people big in height but have little thoughts. It's terrible to be led by someone that has little thoughts. People marry beautiful and handsome people on the outside, but you don't marry the box. You marry the contents. Little people don't warn you that they are little people. They always major in the minor and minor in the major. You should think on the big picture, the panoramic view, that priorities that really count. Little thinking will make you so stubborn and angry and intent on winning the battle that you finally lose the war. Using a big idea on a little person is a waste. Little thinking may be entertaining, but it's not revolutionary. Joseph in the Bible had been given his purpose and destiny at an early age. Whenever God says he's going to give you power, get ready for pain. Pain is what God gives with power to keep you from getting arrogance. Joseph's brothers told his father he was dead. Don't you know that people will lie on you? Injustices occur when we always look for logic. If you look for logic, you may go crazy. They brought Joseph out of the pit, and even though he was in prison, it looked better. When you're real low, even bad looks good. They put Joseph in prison, but he still had a gift. If you've got a gift, no matter where they put you, you still got a gift. It's amazing that you've lost your song. Even if the caged bird can sing, if the inmate can sing, why can't you sing? Not all bitterness comes through what happens. Some of it comes through what never happened, what didn't happen. You say to yourself, how come it didn't happen for me? I don't care who you are. You might not admit it, but when you see God blessing other people and you know that they ain't no better than you, when you see somebody and you know that they are not any better than you, but as a matter of fact, sometimes they may be even a little worse. I don't think most of you listening would have thrown him in the pit, but I can understand some of their frustration because of the things that didn't happen. I thought I'd be a little further along in the company, that I might have a higher position, but it didn't happen. I thought we'd own our own house by now, but it didn't happen. I can understand their feelings a little bit. Joseph was at the tail end of the family, but he got all this preferential treatment. So what's the big idea? What's the big idea of blessing him over the top of us and over the top of me, giving him the coat of many colors, the big opportunity? Then here comes Joseph's brothers into Egypt. They're looking for favor, and you've mistreated everyone along the way. And every time you were in a position of power, you destroyed the person up underneath you. It's not that I fell in a pit, but you threw me in the pit. And here you come running up now wanting God to bless you, wanting favor. You never thought that the one that could bless you was the one you tried to destroy. It's a funny thing, but what goes around comes back around again. The brothers had the upper hand on Joseph, but now they're in need and coming in with their hand out, about to see the chief financial officer, the CFO of Egypt. The brothers think they are coming in to see the CFO about some kind of loan or extension. They walk in there into the big meeting, and right in the middle of the meeting, the guy that they had to see reveals himself. If there's anybody in the world you don't want to be vulnerable to, it's somebody that you have mistreated. Wow. This man is comforting and loving and trying to help people, the very people who threw him into the pit. It made the biggest chunk of his life horrible, but Joseph had let it go. Joseph said to his brothers, I went through all of that so I could get here ahead of you, so I could do you a favor. Just look at the big idea. Forgiveness is a big idea. You have to be able to see the purpose of the pain that you went through so that you can let it go. I can understand now why Joseph got the favor, because he was a man of big ideas. Creativity does not function in bitterness. You can't think of your biggest thought when your mind is full of little thoughts or bitterness or whatever. If you do not forgive people today, the poison of what they did to you today will eat up your tomorrow. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. What does without wrath and doubting have to do with lifting up holy hands? God wants our hands to be available for his use without any restrictions or hindrances. So whatever is thrown at you, you are not holding on to anything that's going to stop you from receiving anything that God is going to give you. God is going to throw good things to people who have their hands free and their hands up and are ready to receive. Every bit of energy you put in malice, fear, doubt, bitterness, then this energy is unavailable for your destiny. While Jesus is bleeding and dying on the cross, without them even asking for his forgiveness, he says, Father, forgive them. It is a big idea to forgive someone who never even asked you to. Bleeding to death and praying for people is gambling for your clothes. I'm going to rise. You can stay there and wallow if you want to, but I'm getting up and leaving. I'm reaching for the things before me, so I've got to have my hands free. Every time you let something go, God will give you something in the place of the things that you let go. You may have survived, but in order to thrive, you have to get your hands free. The mind is like a computer that was full up. It would run slower and it would buffer. We need to free up memory for you, some space, so that it wouldn't be such a strain. Sometimes to free up memory, we will have to delete some files. We have to forgive and delete the files of when we were hurt. If there is a son that needs to apologize to a father, or a father that needs to apologize to a son, why don't you just go to the phone or in a person in a few minutes after this sermon? My prayer is that we can all make it. May God wonderfully bless you until we meet here next time at the same time. My prayer to God is that as many as can will make it. Please phone, text, or email any comments to Dale Cantrell at 256-508-4410 or email me at dalecantrell2@gmail.com. That is Dale Cantrell, all lowercase, D-A-L-E-C-A-N-T-R-E-L-L, the number 2, at gmail.com. Meridianville Holiness Church is located at 1285 Stigger Road in Meridianville, Alabama, 35759. But any notes or letters should be sent to 278 Priest Lane, Hazel Green, Alabama, 35750. If you would like to visit our church at Meridianville, the Meridianville Holiness Church, our service times are Wednesday evening at 7, Sunday morning at 11, and Sunday evening at 5 p.m. Just come and hear the singing. If you want to leave after the singing, we will not feel hard at you at all. If you did not live near the Meridianville, Alabama area, but would still be interested in attending a service near you, then contact me, Dale Cantrell, and I will give you the nearest church location, the church that's closest to where you're at.